Thanks, Joe. I appreciate Brother Philip, Pastor. Amen. Hold on, I got to get my things on. I just wear them on into my nose. I'm still in denial, but so y'all have to be patient with me. And I'm used to these lapel mics, and I'm not as good at coordinating all this stuff with my hands as you guys are, so I'll get there. Good to see everybody this morning. We got a wonderful group here, and you've had, I'm good. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, you're going to get it under my nose so I can see it better, huh? Yeah, that helps. That does do good there. I need to put one of those in my pulpit. Some wheels on it. Hey, things look good here. Y'all have done a great job fixing this place up. I have not been in it for, I guess, a couple years or whatever, and it looks wonderful, and we're excited for you. If you would, everybody just stand for a moment. You've been sitting there just a little while. And how many of you would like to be able to give your neighbor $1 million standing next to you if you had it? Maybe you would need $2 million before you'd be willing to give them $1 million. I don't know. But you do have something. I want you to bless one another this morning. Grab the hand of somebody you don't mind holding a hand to and look at them right in the eyes. And repeat this after me this morning. Say, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your blessings in our life. We thank you, God, that they overflow into our brothers and sisters' lives. We just ask, God, for you to speak to our hearts today, to minister to our lives. Help build us up, God. Just cause us to have a greater desire to know you and to draw nearer to you with all of our heart and with everything that's within us. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for doing that with me. How many of you would have a desire, and this is kind of like a duh question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You know, preachers do that, don't they? They ask you to do dumb things sometimes and duh things and all that. But how many of you would like to be closer to the Lord today than you are? Amen? You'd like more of the Lord's presence in your life than what you have at this time in your life. We'd all probably say, yes, we do, we would, we want that. And then I may ask you this, what are you willing to do to get there? What are you willing to do to get there? There's a lot of people, we want things, and we're interested in the Lord doing things for us. We cry out, Lord, come, Lord, come greater, more, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And I think sometimes the Lord wants to know, well, where would I come? Or how would I come? Or what are we doing in our regard to welcome him or to see him come in a greater way in our life? Consider this for a minute. You know your Bibles probably very well. You remember blind Bartimaeus in the Scriptures. What if he had not cried out, Son of David, have mercy of me? You know, he wanted to be healed. He wanted to be healed. He wanted a manifestation of God's presence in his life. But it was not until he'd done something about that want that he received that healing from the Lord. He began to cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those around him said, be quiet, hush, you fool. And the Bible says he cried out, Randy, even louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet. And then the Bible says that Jesus turned around and said, come here. And then them guys, they turned completely around. Hey, go, this is your day. He's calling you, go. We knew you could do it. But the truth is, you may not get more of God unless you change something about your life. Something about your attitude. Something about what you're doing or not doing. What if Zacchaeus had not climbed the tree? Maybe he would not have received what he did from Jesus. Amen? And so what are you? We all might say, I want more of God. I desire more of him in my life and my heart. But what are you willing to do differently that would enable the Lord to do that in your life? Those are things for us to think about in many ways. There is still a lot to know about the Lord that you don't know. I might ask you this morning, how many sermons do you think you've heard in your life? we've seemed to, if we're not careful, just make this Christian thing into a, just kind of an event that we go and we listen all the time and hear things. I don't know what we all do with all that stuff. Preachers are still trying to figure all that out, aren't they, Pastor Philip? I don't know what they do with all that great information I've been giving them, you know, but we receive a lot. You've had hundreds, you've had thousands of sermons in your life. And what is so interesting today, all over the world, millions, billions of people are seeking the Lord, and God is speaking to people, and people for the first time that have even known the Lord for 10, 20, 30 years are finding out something new about Him. It's amazing what is left there yet for us to know about the Lord. But it should be our desire to really know God in a greater and a deeper and a more profound way than what we do today. I'll give you an example of knowing something. There were a little boy and a little girl playing back there in the room, and the little guy was a little bigger than his sister, and his sister was a little young, little toddler, and she reached up there and grabbed his hair, and he started hollering, and mom comes running in there. You know how you moms do. What are y'all doing now? I've seen my wife do that a few times. She's a little more tender about that. What are y'all doing now? She's not like me. What are y'all doing? She grabbed my hair. Oh, now, Johnny, she doesn't know that hurts. She's just a little kid, little one. She doesn't realize it. Just be nice to her. Mama leaves the room. Then little sissy starts crying. Ah! Mommy comes in. What happened? What happened? She knows now, right? She knows now. There are some things left for you to find out and to experience in the Lord. We've only begun to really know the Lord. Even if you've been preaching, and if you're as elderly as Brother Joe Foss, there's still more. There's still more. God is eager to share it. God is eager to pour out things into our lives and in our hearts. We have to position ourselves in a place that we're saying, Lord, I'm not just one of these that are just sitting waiting for more, but I'm searching for more. I'm seeking for more. I'm desiring more in my life. I'm showing you and making an earnest effort to find more out about you. There's a evangelist preacher from California named Bill Johnson. Many of you probably have not heard of him. It depends what circles you kind of run into and run in on who you know about or whatever. But he said this. He has said there's a lot about the Lord that we have yet to know and to discover. And he says that it's not that the Lord is hidden things from us. He says you have to seek those things in order to find them. And he said it's not that the Lord is hiding them from us, but he's hiding them for us. And he gives an illustration of an Easter egg hunt on Easter and how that the parents, and we still do this. Oh, yeah, Ichabod, I hide Easter eggs sometimes still. We go out and we hide the Easter eggs. We don't hide them so much where they won't see them, where they won't find them. It's not, our goal is not for them not to find them, right? I mean, they get the stinking out in the front yard. Some of them they don't find. The lawnmower finds them or the weed eater or something like that 2 months later. But the goal is not for them not to find them. You want to leave just a little bit there that if they're really looking hard enough, what are they going to do? They're going to find it. And the same thing is true. The Bible says Jesus spoke in parables to what? To keep that away from those who really it didn't belong to and really weren't seeking. And so, and the joy is this, is when you find that, it's the Father's pleasure. Not only you see that little kid get that egg, he lights up, she lights up, you know, oh, I found the egg. And there brings joy into their life. And when you find something more about the Lord in your life, doesn't it bring joy and gladness and renewal to your life? Amen. But then on the other end, I'm sitting there just smiling, just getting a kick out of what? Out of them finding it. And so there's so much more for us to know and to experience in the Lord. But we have to have an attitude and a heart and a desire to seek after that which the Lord has for us, that He has in place for us. Some of that is positioned in a way that it's only going to be there and only going to be found by those that are manifesting a hungry heart or a desire to know the Lord, those that really are reaching out. The presence and the anointing of the Lord, the power of God, is not just some entitlement for us, but it really is the result of humility, of seeking, of searching, of brokenness, of desiring the things of God. He just does not just give that just anywhere and to everything. But there really is a place for it. It's when we begin to seek the Lord and have a heart for those things that He has for us. Isaiah 40 is where I'm coming from today. And we're going to read this morning starting in verse 3 through verse 5. He says, "Listen, I hear the voice of someone shouting, 'Make a highway for the Lord through the wilderness. Make a straight, smooth road through the desert for our God. Fill the valleys and level the hills. Straighten out the curves. Smooth off the rough spots. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. The Lord has spoken.'" Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on making a highway for God. Making a highway for God. It is your testimony, your desire that I want God. I want more of God in my life. And the Lord, the highway, the word highway, really is about access. It is about providing access to our lives for the things of God and for the person of the Lord. We cry out, as I've said, you know, "Lord, come, do this, do that." And I think sometimes the Lord looks at our lives and wonders, where in the world would I find? Where is a place for me? Where is a place for me? And so there is that place, that desire for the Lord to be in our life. But a highway is about us providing a path, a place, a route in which God can connect to us, reveal Himself to us, and do a work in our life. I might ask you, does God have full access to your life and to your heart? Or are you just waiting for God to do all the work and do something miraculous? Have you provided some place for the Lord? Are you providing a way in for the Lord into your life? Our lives, in many ways, can be the wilderness that He's talking about here in verse 3. He says, "Listen, I hear the Lord, the voice of someone shouting, 'Make a highway for the Lord through the wilderness.'" Our lives can become very much a wilderness where we are so busy with so much, so often, that there's very little time, very little place for the Lord to really access our life. Even though in our heart of hearts we say, "Lord, come and do this and do that," and we desire the fullness and the presence and the anointing of God in our life, or even in our ministry, as many of you are in ministry, and yet there is that wilderness, that like where it's cluttered with so much and so many things in our life, how is it, how will the Lord find a way through all of that? I like wildernesses. I'm a hunter, and I've got to go out. And I'm hunting in deep south Texas this year, in Zapata, Texas, almost in Mexico. I mean, I can see Mexico from where I'm at. It's that deep. Some of that brush down there in south Texas, you can't even walk into it. And if you do, they're going to know you have. You're going to come out all scratched up, messed up. I come back from hunting, and I'll have, man, my arms, my body be all marked up. And my wife and kids, "What happened to you?" "Oh, I had fun." Yeah, right. All messed up. But our lives are much like that. I mean, how would the Lord even begin to access it? We cry out, "Lord, come," and He comes, and He just kind of bounces off everything around us and in us and about us, because there's no real pathway been made for Him in our life. And so He desires to access our life and our heart, but there is that wilderness, if we're not careful, that prevents the Lord in many ways from doing that. Verse 4, where He says that we are to make a highway. Verse 3, rather. He says, "Make a highway." Make a highway. The emphasis is that you have to make it. You have to make it. Seeking God is not a natural attribute. It's not a gift of the Spirit. It may be something that is a mood sometimes. But if you're going to provide an access and a place for the Lord to take you beyond where you're at today, and I guess maybe that's what I'm trying to challenge you just a little bit in, is just decide that I'm going to go further with the Lord. I'm going to know Him in a greater way. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to make that happen. Because the world around you is not going to cater to that, your needs. If you wait till your schedule is cleared or till it's convenient or till you feel like it, then you won't happen. Some things you just got to put them down and do them. I have done that. We do that every year on our calendar. We put them down and then we got to go do them. The easy thing was putting them down. The hard part is doing them. This is one of the last things on my summer schedule. But I enjoy doing this. But if you're going to make an access, a place for the Lord in your life on a new level and a new way in order to show proof or meet for evidence or repentance, Lord, I really do want you. I mean, how would it be to be God having so many people hollering up at him all the time? More, Lord, come over here, Lord. Do this, I want that. Come like a flood. No, come like a river. No, come like a fire. And the Lord's like, I'm looking for a place. And if you really want that, this culture we have, we're too easy, we're too weak, we're too much like wimps. We just, like, if there's any resistance at all there, we just don't press in, we just don't do it. It just wasn't the will of God. I have people all the time in my church come up. They volunteer for something. They get on this ministry and they get on this. And 3 weeks later, I get an email. Oh, I just feel God leading me to this ministry now or that. God ain't led them in years. Their emotions, their flesh, their attitudes lead them. When God's leading, you will be broken. You will be humble. You will have a servant's heart. Oh, I want to be a servant. Everybody wants to be a servant, known to be a servant until they're treated like one. What do you do? Think I'm a servant or something? Treat me like that. What do you think I am, a slave? Right? You see, if we're going to really experience God in a new way, you're going to have to make it happen. It's not just going to come upon you someday. You can chase the evangelists around. My brother's a great evangelist. Chase him around. You can get him to pray for you, and you might have all these wonderful experiences, but you still got a lot of walking, a lot of living. You're going to have to make it work, make a way for it even after that. I thank God for experiences. I thank God for those times, and those often are the times and the things that you look back to and you lean on, and they give you strength for the difficult times that I was talking about in ministry at Calvary Commission last night. But if you want more of God, if you're tired of where you're at, tired of not having prayers answered, not seeing things happen in ministry as you would like, not seeing the breakthrough in your life, your kid's life, not seeing the victory that you want, then you have to make a decision. I'm going to make a place for God in my life. I'm going to create an access. I'm also do some building. Well, he hunts, he builds, he fishes. He preaches, I have a roofing company. What else does this guy do? You know, everything we ever build, we have to build an access hole to get to all the stuff that's keeping all these things going. There's access to this somewhere. And the Lord wants access to your life. And that's what a highway have you made, have you prepared a place for the Lord to enter your life? A consistent place where he can travel to and fro. He knows that's his place. He knows that's set aside for him. He knows that's not going to be taken by other priorities or other things or other people. He knows you set that aside for him. He knows that you care for him because you provided a place. And that you desire him because you prepared a place for him. It's easy to invite somebody to your house, but then the work begins once you've invited them. You got to clean the mess up. You got to get all the kids up. Company's coming. We did that to Karen Graves. We come to visit her house. It was all pretty. I wonder what it looked like 3 hours before we got there. Probably how Joe's lake house looks right now. We're staying at his lake house. We're going to clean it up before we leave, though. But we invite the Lord. But do we provide a place for the Lord? An access for him to come into a life. How do I make that highway? Verse 4, he says this. Fill, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. If yours doesn't say this, get you a new Bible. Just kidding. Fill the valleys. He says, make a highway through the wilderness. Wilderness is your life, my life, all the stuff we want God to wade through to get to us. He says, make a highway. He says, first do it by filling in the valleys. The valleys represent the things that are lacking in your life. I might ask you this morning, what are you not doing that you should be doing? What are you not doing that you could be doing to experience more of the Lord in your life and in your heart? What is there that you need to begin to do differently in your life? All of us are familiar with our Bibles and our Bible stories, and we remember the rich young ruler that Jesus confronted, and the man wanted, he wanted what we wanted. He wanted heaven. He wanted the presence of God. He wanted a place with God. And the Lord says, then you, this is what you must do, because he asked, what good thing must I do? And the Lord told him, and he said, I've done all those things since I was a kid. And then the Lord looked at him and says, one thing you still lack. There's one thing left that you haven't done. He says, go and sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. I don't know what that one thing is that maybe that you're lacking today. But I can tell you this, if we're not experiencing all of God that we desire to do, the problem is not in God, it's in us. The lack is in us. What is it that you're not doing that you should be doing? You see, you can reach a point in your Christian life where you're no longer surrendering. You can reach, we look at that rich young ruler and we kind of scold him, man, that poor fool. He was already more righteous than most of us, according to his testimony. He'd obeyed all those commandments since his youth up. Wasn't that bad of a guy, really. I'd give a lot to have some guys like that in my church, that I didn't have to counsel and straighten up and put through all kinds of programs and ministries. Amen? But the Lord said, there's one thing still that he wasn't willing to do. The Bible says he went away very sad because he wasn't willing to what? He came to a point to where the Lord was asking something else of him. He was not willing to surrender that. All of us can find ourselves in that same place, and you won't experience more of the Lord as you desire until you get to a place to where you're willing to surrender that which the Lord is asking. If you go to the Gospel of John chapter 6, verse 66, where it says, and some of them, many of them at that time, begin to follow him no more. You see, some of us in our hearts have done the same thing. Well, we've not physically walked away from church, not physically walked away from the Lord, but we've stopped surrendering, providing a place. And in that context, we're not really following him. If you're at a place where you're not really conforming to his will, his promptings, his purposes in your life, not yielding, not surrendered, then we can, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in that way. And so that access, that road, needs to begin by filling in the valleys in your life. Let me ask you again, what is it do you need to do that you're not doing? Do you need to pray more? Do you need to seek the Lord more? Do you need to serve more? Do you need to quit being so judgmental, so critical on others? Do you need to be more loving? Do you need to finally start giving a tenth of your income to the Lord? What is there? And you might say, oh, just little things, you know. But those things matter, which we're going to look at in a moment as well. Then he says, level the hills. Level the hills. Level the hills in our life. Creating that pathway, that road for the Lord. Level the hills. Those hills represent the things that are standing in the way of the Lord. The things that are standing in the way of the Lord. There's valleys. There's things that are missing in our life in context of having more of God. But then there's also things standing in the way of the Lord accessing our lives as well. And he says it's time to level those hills. What is there that you need to do that you're not doing? Then the other question is this: what are you doing that you shouldn't be doing this morning? What is there in your life that maybe you need to get rid of today? Those things that you know that it's been with you maybe for years, and it's time for you to lay those things aside, clear a road, a path for a greater measure of God's presence in your life and in your heart. The things that are there that need to go. It could be too much stuff in your life. It could be habits in your life. It could be activities in your life. It could be many things in our life. In Luke chapter 14, and I'm not turning to these scriptures for the sake of time this morning, but you know the parable, the story of the great feast where Jesus invited everybody to the banquet, and everybody was so busy they couldn't go. One person had this going on. One bought some land. One married a woman. Understand that? All y'all, whatever. But the point is that there was too much stuff. You know, there's only so much room in your life. There's only so many days to your life. There's so many chances in your life. Oh, God is faithful. He keeps calling. He's long-suffering. He's patient. He's the Lord of a second chance, a third chance, but he's also the Lord of a last chance. I believe in a believer's hell, and it's called regret. And regret is always in measure and in proportion to opportunity, to experience, to knowledge. And in that context, that puts you guys in real deep water because you're in a wonderful place. They know how to do church in East Texas. I'm telling you, this is a wealthy land for the Lord. It's not a lack of information. It's not because of a lack of information that we're not filled with more of God. It's not that at all. It would be more in the area of application. And so we have things we need to do that we're not doing to fill in the valleys, to give the Lord access. We have things in our life that are in the way that we need to tear down that would also bring access to the Lord into our life. And for all of that, all of us, that would be different. Some of us are in ministry. Some of our ministry activities. Ministry without presence is a real hassle. A real struggle. But what is there in your life today? Maybe that it's time that you begin to tear it down. You begin to say, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to get rid of this. And a lot of it is a matter of choice in your life. There may be things, maybe even besetting sins in your life. I believe that God can give you grace if you make a decision in your heart. A lot of that's just a thing we got in our heart toward that thing in our life. And there's not even really a willingness in some cases to let it go. And you have to come to a point to where I'm willing to let it go. I don't want it. I don't want to be this way anymore. Now I'm going to clear the way for the Lord and build a path, a highway, for the Lord. So he tells us, he says, to fill in the valleys. Make straight. Make straight the smooth road through the desert for our Lord. Fill in the valleys, level the hills. And then he says, straighten out the curves. Straightening out the curves are the things in your life that you need to get right in your life. Has a lot to do, I believe, with character issues in our life. Maybe a lot to do with relationships in your life. Get things right. Things that you've just gone off and you've not dealt with, you've not completed them, you've not settled issues in your life. Those things matter in your life. They really do. If you've walking in offenses with people and and bitterness against somebody and you've not straightened the stuff out in your life, the character issues in your life. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to be different. I'm going to straighten out those crooked paths, the way I've always been. I've always just been a little bit of a liar. I've always just been a little bit of this or a little bit of that. But I'm going to start walking a straight, honest path. I'm going to be in the dark what I am in the light. I'm going to be in the secret of my house the same thing I project myself to be in public. I'm going to be a man of character, of conscience. I'm going to straighten things out, provide a path for the Lord. Then he says, smooth, and that's a good word, smooth off the rough spots. Smooth off the rough spots. Them rough spots, convicts have rough spots. Right? So do other people. I better not go there. The rough spots are the little things. It's learning to respond to the Holy Spirit. It's learning to identify promptings and convictions of the Spirit. It's learning to yield to the person of the Spirit. Learning to be sensitive to little things in your life. Little things that matter. For a few years there, this "What Will Jesus Do" thing came back for us. We had jewelry wrapped around everything, and earrings and belly rings with WWJG, whatever. I didn't have a belly ring. And neither does my wife. When I say we, I'm not talking about we. But there's that attitude, what would Jesus do? What if we really lived that way? What if we really paid attention to the little things? The little things. You see, you're not going to experience great measure of God's presence without righteousness in your life. You're just not going to do it. It doesn't matter what this American culture preaches or what kind of other gospel's being preached. The Lord is still about righteousness. He anoints righteousness. And if we want a path that God's going to travel upon, it's going to have to be a righteous life. There is still an obligation for us as Christians to live a righteous life. We are in an environment that of just the only thing that matters today in many of the church things is just love. You just got to love everybody and love this and love that. I believe in love. But there's some things God's love can't cure. That's an unrepented heart. If the Lord required righteousness under the blood of bulls and goats, he certainly requires righteousness under the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. He does. And we can't avoid the little things in our life and think that they're not going to matter. Tell King Ahab things don't matter when he went out to war. The Bible says, and somebody just threw up an arrow randomly out there in the middle of this war, and this great king, it's in your Bible, was out there in the war, and the arrow hit right between the joints of his vest, where it hooked on, went in and killed him. Killed him dead, just a little spot. Little things matter. It may be the little things in your life that you're avoiding and you're neglecting that are really keeping you from experiencing the big things in God. Crossing your T's, dotting your I's in your life. Not leaving anything for chance. I'm going to walk purely. I'm going to walk righteously. I'm going to do the things I should be doing. I'm not going to do the things I shouldn't be doing. I'm going to fill in them valleys in my life. I'm going to knock down those hills. I'm going to straighten out those curves. I'm going to quit being so crooked in my life. I'm going to be a person of character, and I'm going to be a person of detail. I do not want to offend the Lord. I want to be a person that is sensitively walking before God, looking for his voice, his heart, walking in right relationship with brothers and sisters as well, providing that pathway for the Lord in our life. In verse 5, he says this, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see to it. That's what we want, right? More of God, more of God's presence. But we wait for the presence of God, and there's an understanding of that, to come and change all these things about us. But there's much that will not be changed or experienced in the Lord until we make some changes in our life. Till we make some real, solid changes in our life. He says, then the glory comes. The glory, the presence of God, comes after we've made that access. We've created that highway for the Lord. God is still eager to come. God is still able to come. God truly waits on us more than we wait on Him. A lot of these are just little cliche things we know. We've heard these all of our life. But He really is waiting on us to make an access to Him. I'm going to ask your worship team to come and ask all of you to stand, if you would, this morning. I want you to bow your hearts, if you would. I'm going to pray for you from where I'm at this morning. What do you have? Or might you have this morning some things that are lacking in your life? And you want to say, Leo, I want to begin to fill in them valleys in my life. I'm tired of blaming my deficiency, my anemic attitude and spirit on everything else. I'm going to fill it in. I'm going to fill in those valleys. What might you have that needs to be straightened up? Think about these things. These are torn down, broken down, and then straightened up in your life. Or maybe even the little things. Bow your heads, if you would. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters today. Lord, I believe and I know they love you. I know they are excited about you, and I hope they don't receive this in any kind of indictment in that way. They have passion for you. But Lord, just open up our eyes right now for all of us to see today. But there's still some things that need to be done that really would create a greater access of you into our life. For some of us, we've stopped doing things we used to do. Even as I talked about last night, we've stopped doing some of those things we used to do. And so, Lord, just draw us back to that place. Others in our life, God, we're really not willing. We just have not. We're not torn down those things that need to be torn down in our life. We've held on to things. Lord, help us, God. Give us just a greater desire this morning to say, I'm gonna go forward with the Lord. It's time for me to get off this step. I'm ready to go to the next level and be somebody different. And I pray for my brothers and my sisters today, God, that you would help them in every aspect of their life in this way, Father. Lord, as much as we've seen you do and as many great things that you're doing in the lives of people, Father, we still do desire to see more, but Lord, we don't want to say more and then yet, Lord, not make a place for you. So help us in our hearts right now to reserve that place for you, God, to create a path to the wilderness in our life. Some of us are just way too busy, not with bad things or good things, but they're not necessarily the best things. And we need to identify that in our life and come back to what's most important. In Christ's name, amen. Pastor Philip.
In just a couple of moments, we're going to participate in the Lord's table. The things that Leo was sharing with us this morning about filling in the valleys, tearing down those high mountains, those things separate us from a true and pure communion with the Father. You know, if you read through the communion service found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul warns against taking of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. See, we don't have to be in the unworthy manner. That can be dealt with. It can be dealt with. He wants us to deal with it because he does not want the separation there. He doesn't want the broken fellowship. He doesn't want the broken communion. He desires that we come before him righteous by the blood of Jesus. And as a church body, we've never refused anyone to come to participate. We never have. You don't have to be a member of this church to participate. We don't have to know your life for you to participate. That's between you and God. We welcome you to participate. But I want you to know that this morning, as always, our God has a standard. He always has. He always will. And so before we come and take the elements, the crackers, the grape juice, I want you to just take a moment this morning. You know, Leo has prayed for us, but it's our prayer for ourselves that brings us into his presence. It's our seeking his face, crying out in repentance, asking for mercy, remembering his goodness, rejoicing in what he does that brings us into that state of righteousness with him. So as the worship team leads us this morning, I would ask that your time this morning, whether you come to the altar or whether you take care of business where you are, whether you bow and kneel on your knees, make your chair an altar, it doesn't matter to me. But this morning, I'm urging, exhorting this morning that you do whatever is necessary to raise up those valleys, to tear down those mountains that are a hindrance in your life, and to start sandpaper work on those rough places. So, Father, I just began to pray again. God, we felt your presence here today. We've known, God, that you have been presiding upon the service, God. And Lord, we don't want anything to separate that from becoming the norm in our life. We want it to be not just a Sunday morning when we come together in corporate celebration thing, but God, a moment by moment, play by play, Lord, lived out daily, every moment of our lives, where your presence is manifest, your glory resting upon your people. So Father, I pray that you would give each one of us the grace this morning. Each one of us the grace this morning. And the strength and the help, whatever we need, for those valleys to be filled in, for those high mountains to be leveled, the crooked places made straight. the rough places made smooth. Father, right now we give you the liberty in our presence, God. Liberty in our presence. Have your way among us. Have your way among us, God. I pray that you would begin drawing upon the cords upon our heart, God. Leading us, Father, as it's written in Hosea. Taking your children by the hand, leading us as a newborn that's just learning to walk. Draw us into that place of submission and surrender. Cause our eyes to be open to see the Father who loves and who forgives, who changes and transforms. Oh God, open eyes to see Jesus this morning. Make Jesus manifest in every eye, God, that we might see again the cross, the finished work of Calvary, and that we might see our complete and total dependence upon and need for with every breath we take. Jesus, be Lord. Be Lord. Lord, we just come before you. Let the offerings begin to rise before you this morning. Let the offerings rise before you this morning. We wait upon you. We wait upon you. Father, I ask that forgiveness would flow again. We ask, Father, that strengthening and encouragement would come. That, Father, deliverance might take place even as I'm speaking, God. Lord, look upon the altars, Father, that are being built this morning in Jesus' name. And receive the glory.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Tired and you're thirsty, there is freedom. If you're tired and you're thirsty, there is see you.
Father, remembering your word, you said that the grace of God, which brings salvation, has appeared to all men. Father, I pray that that grace continues to work this morning in the life of someone. This morning in the life of someone who so desperately needs your salvation. Father, I ask that the Spirit be released to accomplish that work that is taking place right now. In Jesus' name. This morning, as we participate in the Lord's Supper, we're kind of going to divide the church down the middle, and I'm going to ask people on this side to come across to this wall, to the front, receive the elements, the bread and the wine, return to your seat holding them until everyone has been served, and we will partake together. Same for this. People on this side of the room, just across that wall to the front.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. There's nothing else will take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find the way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your help me find the way, bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're
You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you. Help me know you are near. Help me know you are near. Help me know you are
as oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Scripture says that on the same night that the Lord was betrayed, after supper, Lord, you took the bread that they had been using for thousands of years. The thing that had been masked for generation upon generation. They'd followed the tradition in blindness. But you opened their eyes. It says you broke the bread and you gave it to your disciples. Lord Jesus, you said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Father, we are so thankful. Jesus, you called yourself the bread of life. And you said, unless we eat of the bread of life, we have no life. Jesus, what was hidden in a mystery for generations, God, you came to reveal what it was all about. The sins of man and the blindness of our minds, God, kept us from the holiness and the righteousness that you had longed for us to walk in and to receive. But Jesus, you came to be that very holiness and the very righteousness of God. And the lambs that were sacrificed year after year in succession, God, you came to be the Lamb of the world that was slain from the foundation to take away the sins. God, as they ate that covenant supper year after year, never recognizing that God providing for salvation would also make holy. Jesus, you became both salvation and righteousness. And God, you're asking us to give back to you. So, Father, as we eat into this covenant again this morning, it's not just a ritual. It's not just a tradition that's been followed. But we're eating into that fellowship and that covenant with you, God, that communion whereby you gave your life for us. You purchased us and our lives became yours. And Father, we do this in remembrance of you because before you, we had no life. Before you, we had no strength. We had no hope. We had no future, no eternity. But you came to give us hope and life and strength and future and eternity forever in the presence of the Father. So, Lord, I pray that as we eat into this covenant, Lord, you would ratify the covenant. That, Father, that you would pour out again, Lord, that your blood would become fresh upon our lives, Lord, to change, to transform, to make us again, Lord, in the image by your Spirit, God. Lord, empower. We ask for freshness of your Spirit upon us. We thank you for the broken body. And God, we hereby say you can have our lives. Live through us, God. Make yourself known to the world through the body of Christ. We pray it together in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake together.